2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. It should be a preacher's delight that in every sermon he preaches, he declares the basic Christian doctrine of salvation or justification of sinners in the sight of God by the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are other things in Scripture beside this great truth of salvation. Some of us would prefer to hear comforting message every Lord's Day. But all things in Scripture are not placed there for our comfort only. All are not promises. All are not words of cheer for feeble minds and disobedient spirits. There are other words besides those of consolation. There are words of rebuke, words of corrections, words of instruction. There are also words of direction, words of precept, words of duty in glorifying God and promoting His work on the earth. If we would shun all these wonderful truths of God in the Bible, I fear that some form of spiritual sickness may break out in our congregations. If these truths are not preached from our pulpits, some terrible spiritual weakness can occur. So from time to time, as ministers of the gospel engage in preaching, they must deliberately make sure that they preach the whole counsel of God's word. And this includes today's text, which is about giving. Now, I don't preach this because there is a fundraising going on True Life or in my church. Basically, we have to learn this because it is God's truth. To some, this message will be a joyous sound because they have been obedient in this matter. To some others, this will be a very difficult message because you are unwilling to comply. You have been so, and maybe even at this moment, you are unwilling to open your heart to give as the Lord would have you give. Have you give to His cause? So I pray that the mighty Spirit of God would cause every one of us to yield our hearts repentantly if they have been disobedient, and joyfully that we may serve Him with more obedience if we have been obedient to Him. May the Lord be magnified through our meditation of this portion of the Scripture. Now let's ask this question. Who should give? Because our title is A Cheerful Giver, God's Beloved. Now, who is the giver? Who should give cheerfully? At the very beginning of this verse, we are told, every man. Every man. So this is a duty of every Christian. Every one of us the preacher, the elders, the deacons, the members, and every Christian who truly loved the Lord Jesus Christ. To all the church, it is given to each member in his measure to serve God by giving. You see, some are enabled, being made stewards of much wealth, to give largely of their substance. And they should bind themselves to the Lord to give more, because God has blessed them with much. They should not give it meagerly, with a stingy spirit. They should feel happy in giving. And they should count it their privilege to give more, because God has blessed them with much. Now, there are poor Christians. They give according to what God has given to them. No one is asked to give more than what they have. They are only asked to give from what God has already bestowed on them. We are not to borrow and give. We give what the Lord has given to us. So whether you are rich or poor, the Bible expects you to give from what you have. Now, how about those who have nothing to give? Well, if he be so poor that he cannot give two mites, which make a farthing, then let him give his time, his service, whatever he can for the glory of Christ. When it comes to serving God, we must have this disposition. I'm saved to serve. I'm saved to give the best, because the Lord gave his life for me. None must escape from being givers to God in some way, for we are all receivers and should be all dispensers. We must be givers because the Lord has given us much. So let's not ever entertain thoughts like this. You know, I've been rich. I worked hard for that. And I've given quite a big gift last month, so I don't have to give this time. No. If this month the Lord has given you much, then continue to do so. If you say, oh, I'm poor, I can't give like the rich, let the rich ones give. You know, even if I give, it's so little. Maybe 10 cents. Maybe $1. Maybe $2. It's, you know, God can do without that. Our church can do without that, because there are a lot of people who can give a lot more than that. I don't have to give. No, give of what God has given to you. Give it all. So none can say, I'm not called to give. Let every man give as the scripture instructs us. Now, how are we to give? How should we give? That's the second question that we want to consider this morning. Well, look into that verse. As the title suggested, which is taken from the last part of that verse, God loveth a cheerful giver. We are expected to give cheerfully. So if I have to answer that question, how should we give? In one word, I would say, cheerfully. Now, what does it mean to say give cheerfully? We have the answer in the verse itself. Let me ask you to consider the words that precede the last phrase, which is not grudgingly or of necessity. That little phrase there explains cheerful giving. Not grudgingly or of necessity. The word grudge comes from a Greek word that means heaviness or sorrowful. So not grudgingly means don't give with a heavy heart or with sorrowfulness. Give joyfully, in other words. You should not be giving as though you wish you could avoid it. Once I happened to hear a couple discussing their giving. We were all eating together after the service in a eating place near the church, and maybe they thought I was not around or I'm not listening. So one of them said to the other, "Hey, I thought you had a $50 in your note, in your purse." So the other said, "Yeah, I had, but I had no change, so I put the $50 into the offering bag." You should take care of this. You shouldn't have given so much. Then I was thinking, the other one may be thinking I'm stupid. I shouldn't have given that. You know, so much unhappiness in giving what they gave. Instead of saying, never mind, even though we have no food, we have given that much, they are rebuking one another for giving what they gave. It's not a cheerful giving. It is giving grudgingly. Do you happen to do that? Maybe the offering bag is coming. You open up your wallet and look into it. It's a $100 bill. No change. Quickly fold your wallet, put back into your pocket. Say, okay, let it pass. Never mind, next week I will give. Because this time I have no change. What's your attitude when it comes to giving? Not grudgingly. I must explain this further. We must give with ease and spontaneousness. A freeness in our spirit must always move us when it comes to giving. There must be pleasure in our heart when it comes to giving. To do so, you must not wait until some need arises in the church. You should not have the attitude, if there is an obvious necessity, then I start giving. If not, I hold back. No, giving has to be part and parcel of our Christian nature. Because the Lord gave us His Son. God gave us His only begotten Son. He loved us so much. And Jesus laid down His life for us. He gave Himself for us. It was out of their own joyful love for us that they gave us the great salvation. And our response as the children of God, our response as the spirit of that loving, giving God who abideth in us, we must generously give. And there should not be any grudging and necessity, waiting for a necessity to occur. Okay, let me encourage you to consider this. The cheerful givers who give without grudging will always reckon how much they should give as good stewards of all that God has given into their hands. They always recognize what they have is not theirs but God's, and they are given the duty to be good stewards. And if God has given it to me for my enjoyment as well as my giving for His glory, for the support of His work, then I should be a joyful one in that calling I have. I'm glad I'm called to be a Christian. I'm glad I'm called to that particular profession or business, to be a Christian man, a Christian workman, a Christian businessman. So all that I have, not only the way I work, but also the things that I obtain from my work, all must be correctly handled to give glory to the Lord. So my giving has to be my joyful working out of my duty that God has given. Now let's say you have large income. How should you give? Of course you should give out of it very happily. Now sometimes there are people who say, look, I know how much the other person is giving, who has the same income as mine. He's not giving very much. Maybe he's giving just his tithe, because I checked with him and he said he just gave his tithe and that itself is big. And then you tell yourself, oh yeah, maybe I just have to give my tithe, that's all. I will just give it. I don't have to give more. But you see, sometimes you may be able to give more than the other who has the same income as you, because that person may have a lot of expenses. He may have a family of seven or five. You may have none to support. And you have all that money waiting there to be spent. And you never use it. Actually, if you are a person who has no problem in looking at what you have given and the lack of burdens that you have, and say, oh, how free I am now. I am a lot more freer than others. I have less burdens, and I can really give for the Lord's glory even more. And we should do so. Let's say there are two people who are able to sing, and one has sore throat and can't sing today, but you have no sore throat. What would you say? Oh, I also do not want to sing because, you know, the other person can sing, but is not singing, so I'm not singing. No, there's a reason why he cannot sing as much as you can. There are burdens. But if you, by the grace of God, are freed from such burden, let your voices come out of your mouth and praise the Lord. Let everybody hear the glory of Christ with beautiful sounds. Now, dear friends, God has sometimes given us that sort of freedom in giving, and that we don't give. We find excuses not to give. We say, oh, others are not giving, so I don't have to give. No, we give cheerfully. We must give without grudging. We must always give so the Lord's work can continue to prosper. We must give proportionately, in other words. Now please look at the beginning of that verse. There is another explanation to this idea of cheerful giving. Let him give as he purposeth in his heart. According as he purposeth in his heart. Now that means you give willingly. In your heart you purpose that you want to be a giver. And how you want to give. It's not determined by somebody else. You give because of your understanding and perception of God's love and will for you. You do not allow any other thing to intimidate when it comes to giving. You sit before the Lord, you pray about it, and you yield yourself willingly and ask God how much I should give. I want to ask you, when you come to church, knowing that giving is part of our worship, do you come prepared? Or when you come here, you just open the wallet and look for the smallest note and give and take and give? Or just close your eyes and pull one bill and give? No, we must come prepared to give. We must be ready to give. We should not be waiting there for the last person to give, and then our chance comes, we pull out a note and suddenly give. It must be purposeful. Must be planned. determined. So you see, we do not give grudgingly. We don't wait for people to come and press us to give. We don't need anyone to come and solicit and say, would you please give? We have a need like this. We don't have to wait for the pastor or the elder or whoever chairs repeatedly make those needs known to us over the pulpit. We are willing to give as soon as we know that there is a need. The church needs more funds. There are works going on everywhere. Gospel missions everywhere. There are people who are in need. There are brethren who are in need. There are missionaries who ought to be supported. There are works that had to be supported. And the Lord has given me the freedom to give and let me give. Sometimes when I hear people arguing about giving of tithes, my heart aches. Or there are those who say, giving tithe is an Old Testament practice. It was a Mosaic law. It's no more applied. In fact, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees one time and he said, you give your tithe and you do this and that, but you ignore other duties. And some people say, oh, Jesus actually told them not to give tithes. No, he didn't do that. But anyway, we also must remember, Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek. That was long before Moses instituted all the Levitical rules. So it's not just part of the Levitical rule. It's a happy way of expressing our thankfulness to God by giving one-tenth. Now, by the way, the Bible never says you can only give one-tenth. Even in the Old Testament, listen to this carefully, God's people have given more than one-tenth. There was also free will offerings. And they would do that happily. Whenever there is a need in the Lord's work to be supported, God's people must be more than happy to give out of the much that the Lord has given them. And we must not be arguing about whether we should only give one-tenth. Let's give proportionately. Let's give willingly. Let it never be with a grudging heart. Let's purpose in our heart to give. Now, at the end of that verse, we are told that the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. That's why I entitled my sermon, A Cheerful Giver, God's Beloved. Now, this does not mean by giving we buy God's love. God's love is not for sales. Of course, Apostle Paul is addressing a community of saints, those who are saved, those who have already received his love. And when we give, we are being thankful for his great generous love toward us. And you know, when we give with a cheerful spirit, God realizes how much we appreciate his love, and he loves us all the more. Any father who is listening to me understands what I'm trying to say. When you give something to your child and he says thank you generously, and then he comes back and says, Dad, you give me this much, I have something for you. Now what he's going to give you is nothing compared to what you gave. Maybe all that he gives is an A4 paper with a big handwriting on it. Thank you, Dad, for your love. In terms of value, it's nothing. It doesn't even cost 5 cents. But your heart is so refreshed. Oh, my child has so much love for me. And he appreciates my love for him. And certainly the father's love increases. He blesses the child even further. Yes, dear friends, we give, and we give out of God's love for us. And when we give, He loves us even more. He loves us even more. And this mutual expression of love must continue. As far as True Life BB Church is concerned, when I observe it from outside, I see and I hear of your love for God. Not because I'm always with you in this congregation. Not because I talk to all of you all the time. But because of the reports of the testimony of how you support the Lord's work in Tanzania or in Kenya or in Cambodia or in other parts of the world or in Brisbane. How you support the work of FEBC. How you cheerfully give to the needy. How you pray that the Lord's kingdom would flourish in time to come. You know, giving is very special. It is one way all of us can be part of God's work. And all of us can bear testimony to the love of God that enables us. And I say this, I know from outside, God loves True Life BP Church. And one way I know is by the way you give to the Lord's work. And as you give to the Lord's work, and by your giving, when God's work gets established in many parts of the world, and many suffering saints get comforted by your giving, the love of God will be seen through you. And that's really the truth. When we say God loveth a cheerful giver, it is not just to say that God's love just will come to you and then make you a very rich person. In fact, your cheerful giving may make you less rich. You know, God, when the Lord Jesus was here on earth, a rich young ruler came to him. And to him the Lord said, "Give everything, sell everything and give to the poor and follow me." Now, if he has done it, I think he would be quite poor, isn't it? Because he was commanded to sell everything. But he walked away. Why did he walk away? Because he loved money more than the Lord. But let's say he has responded to the Lord's call, gave everything as the Lord has commanded, and start following. What would you and I see in him? The Lord's special care for him, to sustain him, to provide him a house, to provide him food, and to use him as he follows the Lord for the glory of Christ. We are going to see him as not as a bankrupt person, not as a dying poor Christian, but we are going to see him as a man filled with God's love in a very special way, achieving and accomplishing only that which God's love can accomplish. Do you know, dear friends, money is not everything. Money cannot achieve everything in the work of the Lord. It is the love of God, it's the power of God that's going to make us effective. But there is something that hinders us in the work of the Lord. That's love for money, which is the root of all evil. It will not allow God's love to come to us and flow through us. It prevents the love of God, the work of God in some ways. It hinders the work of God. But when a church, when a Christian, when a pastor become generous, whoa, he knows from his life. Paul knows it, that's why he wrote, God loves a cheerful giver. Nobody can ever tell anyone what the love of God is going to accomplish through you if you are going to be a giving church, a cheerfully giving church. God's love will overflow your life. What a great promise we have, dear friends. What's the purpose of our existence? What is the purpose of our existence on this church, on this world as a Christian? Why are we here on earth as a Christian? Is it not that we may become witnesses of His love? And one way to accomplish it is by fulfilling this wonderful duty that God has placed before us, being cheerful givers. I want to continue to praise God for the way your pastor has instructed you. The Lord has done great things through him because he himself has been a giving person. And I myself have been a receiver of many blessings the Lord has wrought through him. Whether it's my studies in FEBC or my ministry in Gethsemane BP Church and in all other places, are fruit of your pastor's sacrificial labor. Well, people have spoken evil of him. It doesn't matter. People spoke evil about Christ himself. But look, if we stand in the good tradition of our Lord, if we stand in the good tradition of our forefathers, it's not just about preaching the truth, but also giving out of a cheerful heart for the support of the truth that we hold dearly to our heart. How do we know that we love God? How do we know we love the Lord's church? How do we know that we will stand with the Lord to the very end, even though trials and afflictions and persecutions would come? It can be known even now, the way we are willing to give of ourselves. If you are unwilling to give in your times of comfort and prosperity, will you give your life when it is threatened? Let us pray to God that God's love will fill our heart so greatly that we will not keep anything for ourselves, but give of ourselves abundantly to Him. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, this morning we come to Thee. With a heart that needs to be cleansed, that needs to be cheered further, that needs to be empowered with Thy word. We thank You for the redemption. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. You have called us. You have justified us. You have sanctified us. O Lord, we now pray once again. Free our spirits by the love of Thy heart, that we may give with a cheerful heart. O great giver, teach us how to give. Help us to stand as witnesses of our God who loves us. Lord, help us not to be professors, but really practicing men. And we thank You, Lord, that You have promised, as You instructed us, that You will love us. And You will love us that we may continue to give. And as we give, Your love for us may be seen within our hearts, and it may encourage others also to fulfill their duties. And as Your love flows through us, even sinners may be brought to Thee. Lord, we pray that You will bless all those who have been giving. Let them know, O Lord, that You will continue to bless them and use them. And as we give, we pray, You will bless our giving. Multiply it by Thy power, O Lord. May Thy great love take our gifts and use it, that many more people may hear of Thee, and many may come to Thee as their Savior. We thank You for this opportunity to hear Thy word. And as we come to the end of this worship, O Lord, we ask that You will teach us by Thy word and continue to deal with us, that wherever we may be, we may give out of the blessings that You have given to us, that the love of God may spread. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.